was tremendous. I just had a flood of verses kind of running through my head right there. I love, this doesn't go exactly, but just Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Man, God of heaven did that for you and for me, for this world. Not only that, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Well, isn't that good too, that we have a high priest who knows what we've gone through, was tempted in all points like we were for us. Man, what a beautiful song that was. It's put that verse on my heart. Well, good evening, church. You're like, who is this guy that just stood up and started rambling? We are the Hooper family. We are going as church planting missionaries to the country of South Africa. We're honored to be here. I talked to Pastor right before we walked in, and he was apologizing up and down. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you guys live stream. He may be watching. But I said, don't apologize. I said, the Lord knew exactly what day he needed us to be here to be able to preach, and it just worked out perfectly. All things, even in the chaos, work out for good when we give it to God and give him the glory for it. So I'm just honored that we were able to be here tonight. Let me introduce my family real quick. I have my wife and best friend, Holly. She's put up with me for 11 years, and I'm thankful for it. I'm still breathing, thank the Lord. I'm thankful I get to serve the Lord beside her. And then we have our little girl, Raya. She is 8 years old. She's our shy one. And then we have Lincoln, who is 6 years old. He just hid there. I normally say he's not the shy one, so if you want any of the dirty family secrets, please talk to Raya, not him. He usually likes to spill those. But a little bit about us, and then I'll tell you our testimony, and then we'll look at South Africa. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at a young age. I was 5, almost 6 years old when I got saved. As my pastor says, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that Christian raising that I had. Realized I'd not murdered or killed anybody at 5, almost 6, but I was still a sinner, lost and on my way to hell. I needed a Savior. Holly did not have the same opportunity that I did, though. She grew up in a broken home with drugs and alcohol, raised by aunts and uncles and dad in prison and all this just a chaotic life. When she was 12 years old, she had an aunt that took her to vacation Bible school 1 year, and she heard the gospel. She got saved. I'm thankful for churches that love on young people. This is a younger church here. Hey, do something for the Lord. Reach those that seem hopeless, because you never know. You never know what the Lord might be doing with that little girl in a broken home, just raised around drugs and alcohol. You never know what he might do in their lives. So I'm thankful for that. 2017, I surrendered to preach. I was well into my career with the City of Atlanta Fire Department. That's all I ever wanted to do was be a big city fireman. So that's what I did right out of high school. Raya was just born. She's about 2 months old. We've been cooped up with a newborn baby, and I was ready to get out of the house. We were involved at our home church at Whitfield Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. We were involved there. But we went up there to go see our teenagers, and I thought I was just getting out of the house for a little while with a newborn baby, but the Lord had a different appointment for me that night. He called me to preach, and I thought, Lord, what are you doing? I say that jokingly, but I was told, I said, Lord, however or wherever you want to use me, I'm willing to do it. I didn't know what it would mean or this, that, or the other. I had the opportunity to start preaching and doing more. Like I said, we were involved at our home church. We were working with our young people, our teenagers, and all that. But started training, doing some preaching, and said, Lord, I was praying for wisdom from the Lord, what he wanted us to do. Because I know he didn't call me to preach just to sit on a pew. Now, I was not looking for a title or a position, because let me tell you, y'all are a very nice crowd, but this is the most uncomfortable place in the world for me. I'm just being real. I tried to make every excuse in the world why, oh, Lord, you can't use me here, you can't do this. But he made it abundantly clear in our lives that he wanted to serve as church planting missionaries. Our next big question was where? Our church, we're the third family from our church in the country of South Africa. And I didn't want to just automatically default to that country. We prayed about multiple countries. We even tried working our way into India, and the Lord closed the door. I had a pastor one time correct me. He said, why are you apologizing for where the Lord has you? He puts you where he wants you. I said, you're right. And I may, and you'll see, and I'll mention him here in a minute, and I'm going, I want to double dip on the video here. But in 2021, we were able to put feet on the ground in South Africa for the first time after the Lord immediately closed the door on India for us. And we found ourselves in South Africa. And we had not said we were going there. We had not decided that that's where, well, we had not decided that's where the Lord wanted us, right? But we were there, and I had a pastor, Pastor Lubabalo, one of the national pastors there. You'll see him in the video. He walked up to me after the service and said, Brother Blaine, he said, how long until you get here? What? His English is very, he speaks very good English. Better than I do, honestly, if we're being honest. But he just walked up to me and asked me that like it was decided. I said, I'm playing dumb. I said, Pastor Lubal, what do you mean? He said, how long until your family can get here? He said, we need help. He said, we need more people. He said, we need more people to bring the gospel to our country. It makes me think of Acts 16. Paul and they've been trying to go all to Asia, all bouncing around, and the Lord says, no, 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 no. And a vision appeared in Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I looked at Pastor Rubal and I said, I think I know this is where the Lord wants us. Verse 10 says, and after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Without a doubt, the Lord gave us a burden and a love for that country that I can't explain outside of him. That was Holly's first time ever being on an airplane, was going to South Africa. And I was a little nervous what she would think about after, you know, a 17-hour direct flight. I wasn't real sure, but she fell in love with the people, and we saw the tremendous need there in that country. We'll show the video here in just a second, and you'll get to see the videos that we have. A friend of mine that he travels and makes missionary videos. You're going to see not just a bunch of B-roll random video that we found online. These are the drone shots and the videos that he's put together from South Africa for us. And you'll get to see firsthand what these people live in. You're going to see a township there that has 500,000 people in it. You're going to see a drone shot of a graveyard. You'll see it once or twice, and then you'll see it again from a different angle. Township sits right next to the graveyard. There's 500,000 people that live in that township. You think, okay, it's going to be a big city. You'll see 500,000 people. And those people, the vast majority of them, will live their entire lives in that township to cross the street. The vast majority of them are going to hell. They need the gospel. And we just want to be faithful to get that there to them. So I'm going to show you this video real quick, and then we will tell you a little bit more about South Africa. This is where y'all cue the awkward silence piano music.
Shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear? South Africa is a country of breathtaking beauty, diverse cultures, and wonderful people. Beautiful people who live their lives in darkness. Darkness brought on by apartheid. Being told they were nothing and being treated as though they were nothing. Racial division, crime, poverty, alcohol, and broken homes. This is the life they know. They were told there is hope by many false religions. Many South Africans even claim to know God. But the God they know is not the God of the Bible. They still practice witchcraft in the form of ancestral worship, sacrificing to their ancestors in hopes that they can somehow get them to heaven, how shall they hear? How shall they hear that it's not by works of righteousness that they have done, but by Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross? How shall they hear that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son for them? In the midst of this darkness, the true gospel of Jesus shines as the only true hope. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. South Africans desperately need the message of true hope. Entire regions lack single Bible-believing churches anywhere. How will they hear of a Savior if no one goes to tell them?
We are the Hooper family. We have been serving in the ministry of our home church for the last 9 years. In 2021, the Lord made it abundantly clear where we were to serve. We were given the opportunity to spend time in South Africa, where we worked and served alongside veteran missionaries and national pastors. There, we saw how open and receptive the people were to the gospel. We saw lives changed, people who had finally been told of true and eternal hope. But we also saw the tremendous need for more laborers. Matthew 9, 36 and 37 says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
One of the national pastors, Pastor Lou Babalo, asked me, he said, Brother Blaine, how long? How long until your family can come and help? We need more laborers. How long? How shall they hear? Our family is nothing special. We can't change their lives. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We simply want to be obedient to the call that the Lord has put on our family. We want to take them the word of God and share the only true hope, the life and eternity-changing truth of the gospel. Lord willing, we will learn the native language. We will evangelize the lost, and we'll disciple those that get saved. We want to plant churches and train national men to one day pastor those churches and reach their own people. Please pray for South Africa and the people that we will one day have the opportunity to witness to. Please pray that the Lord will start working on their hearts, even now. Please pray for our family, as we simply want to obey the Lord and his call to share the message of the gospel with the people of South Africa. How shall they hear? How shall they hear except they be sent?
That's a little glimpse. I'm going to move this back real quick. I feel like me and it will get in a fight later. That's a little bit of South Africa. The thing I didn't mention about Pastor Lou Babalo is he was sold into slavery by his mother when he was just a young boy during apartheid. And that's what the whole township things are. You hear me say the word township, but you've seen beautiful pictures of South Africa, right? Cape Town and world travel. It's there. But on every city, on the other side of the street, there's a township in every city in South Africa. And the townships during apartheid, during the early 1900s, were when the Dutch and the English realized there's gold and diamonds in the land, they came in and they pushed all of the native South Africans into townships. They were government-subsidized property, land fenced in, one way out. That way, if they ever had an uprising, they could, in their words, exterminate them. They were set outside of city center so that they could be bombed and killed in their own country. That ended in the late 80s and early 90s. And that is what they've lived in. And it's immediately replaced with socialism. And so their lives are the townships. That's it. They live there. They're entitled to a check. And I'm not being political. This is just the reality. It's just how our country's going. Anyway, I'm not trying to be political. That's just the truth of it. The bad thing is, the sad thing and bad thing is they're a very religious people just by nature. I mentioned the ancestry worship, and the Pentecostal and charismatic movement has taken over all of sub-Saharan Africa with a vengeance. They go to those churches and they get involved, and the Pentecostal and charismatic, they play into their witchcraft sides of things, talking about spiritual breakthroughs, and it sounds so good to them. Some of the largest churches in the world are in southern Africa. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people. But they always fall back. Regardless, if they go to that church, they will always fall back to ancestor worship. Unless they see God. Unless they see... Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I mentioned that throughout, and we're going to look at that. We take them to the gospel, God's word. I was there this summer again for a couple of weeks, and I was talking to one of the young men that's saved and training to be a pastor there. And I said, let's have a conversation, you know, just, I said, what am I going to run into as a white American coming to your country? And he said, so why is your God better than my ancestors? Now he's, like I said, he's asking me that. He's saved. He knows the answer. But that, he said, that's what I thought. He said, that's what I thought. He said, why is this foreigner's God better than mine? So the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got a lot of people in America today that say, why is this God thing of yours such a big deal? Take them to God's word and show them, and live a life that says our God is different, because he is. He's very much real and alive, unlike their ancestors. Pastor Lubabalo, he escaped that slaver when he was 11 years old. He was found on the run by a missionary there in South Africa. And that missionary shared the gospel with him. He said, there's hope. He said, there's no such thing as hope. He said, but if there is, where do you hear it? God's word. I'm nobody special, church. I love what Jim Elliot said. He said, missionaries are very human folks, just doing what they are asked. Simply a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt the somebody. That's all we want to do, is take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the people of South Africa. I don't think that I can reach 64 million people that are in our country. The city that we'll be training in has 1.3 million people in it. I can't reach 1.3 million, but we can just be faithful to reach the few that are put in front of us at first, and then the next few, and then the next few. And that's all we want to do, church, is just take the gospel to South Africa. Like I said, Lord willing, we'll be learning the Xhosa language. That's what you heard at the end there. If I don't cheat and say it the right way, it's the isiXhosa language. It's a clicking language. We have 12 national languages in South Africa. In our city, we have English, Afrikaans, and Xhosa. So that is what we plan to be learning. I always joke and tell people, don't shoot me for saying this behind the pulpit. If you watch the movie Lion King, the song at the beginning that they sing is Zulu. It's a sister language to Xhosa. So it's a very similar language in the same country. Zulu is one of our 12 languages. But Lord willing, we will do our language school, and we want to start churches. We want to reach the nationals, train national men to pastor their own people, and do it time and time and time again. We're excited to get there. We started deputation in March of this year, and praise the Lord, we're at about 30% of our needed support. The Lord's been good to us, and we're excited. Lord willing, about this time next year, the first of 27, we plan on being wheels up and headed to South Africa. We have the opportunity to train with some veteran missionaries. Like I said, one of the families that's from our church has been there 18 years. The other's been there for about 14 years. They're doing tremendous work, and we're excited to get to train under them and possibly even stay in that city. That township you saw, Motherwell, has, like I said, 500,000 people. There's one church. One church for 500,000 people. And if you're outside of about 20-minute walking distance, you're maxed out. Like I said, they're on a fixed income, and they have a taxi system that's almost mafia-run. but they don't use the little bit of money they get to go to church. They use it once a month to go get their groceries, and they stay. So there's a tremendous need for the gospel there in South Africa. So I just ask that you pray for us, church. Pray for my family. Pray that the Lord will start working on the first people we encounter. There's enough English-speaking people that we can share the gospel from the time our feet hit the ground. But we want to see people saved. I ask that you would just pray for the hearts of the first people we'll come in contact with. And I ask that you pray for us to remain steadfast and faithful on deputation. We travel a lot. Traveling with kids can be interesting. But the Lord, like I said, has been so good to us, better than we deserve. And we want to get to South Africa. I heard a quote at a missions conference this fall, and when I first heard it, I thought, I don't know, but then it hit me. The gospel is only the good news if it gets there in time. At first I was like, gospel's always good news. Not until a lost person takes their last breath that's never heard it. So our goal is to get there, to reach lost in South Africa. And then I asked that you pray for churches just like yours. I can tell, you can tell when you're in a healthy church. But we can always have more of a burden for the lost. We can always have more brokenness for the lost. And I just ask you to pray for churches all across our country to truly get a burden for the lost. Come by our table, please. Get a prayer card. Pray for us. That's all I ask. We can have all the money in the world, but we need people going to the throne room of grace and asking for our help, asking help for us. So I ask you, just get a prayer card. I didn't get around to get everybody. We're going to a socialist country, so I say come by our table and get our propaganda. All right? We got stickers, prayer cards, bracelets, everything. Come by. It's all yours for free. Let's get in God's Word. We're going to go to Romans.